Well, we finished last week in Acts chapter 2, and we were looking at that first sermon that Peter gave on the day of Pentecost, and we were looking, we weren't skipping past it to get to that verse that we really like after it. We were slowing down to see what that message really was about. And when we were looking at that sermon, we saw a number of things that Peter brought out about who Jesus was and what he did. And we talked about the things that had to happen, otherwise that sermon wouldn't have mattered. We said that it wasn't done by mistake, and that God raised him up. He said, I can show you David's grave. He's still there. That's not the way Jesus is. And he said, that story matters, that sermon matters, because the story is not over, which led us to where we're going to be today. If that story matters, we ought to live like that story matters. Which brings us to the letter of 1 Peter. As Mike has pointed out the last couple of weeks in Sunday morning class, it is a letter that seems to be written near the end of Peter's life. So we go from last week, Peter's first address publicly in the Christian era, to very late in his life. And we see some connection to what he has to say there. But he's gained, one would imagine, a lot of wisdom. We see, as we go through the book of Acts, the things that Peter is doing and learning and struggles that he has and victories that he has and learning about what God wants from his people, learning that God's people are not as narrow as he might have expected, that God is opening this up to everybody, as we see Peter being the one chosen to go baptize the first Gentile. And so along the way, Peter has learned some things about what it means to live like this story matters. I think when you talk to different Christians, when you go to different churches, and you bring up the idea of how do we live like it matters, I think you get some different answers. And I think they do come back to how you view what was important about the gospel story. I think there are a lot of churches and a lot of Christians who spend most of their time when it comes to what do we do to show that it matters, how do we live, we spend a lot of time focusing on the end of our lives. Spend a lot of time focusing on what comes after. How do we act as Christians? What matters as Christians? And we say, well, as Christians, we are trying to get to heaven. I remember as a teenager, sitting in a Bible class, our youth minister had brought in a guest speaker, a friend of his. I don't even remember where he was from. He said, we have a special guest speaker. And must have been a good lesson, since I remember it, because you know, how often do you remember sermons, and even less so Bible classes, I imagine. But I'm not supposed to say that. I remember he sat down, circle of teens, and said, we have two jobs as Christians. Get to heaven and take as many as we can with us. Maybe you've heard that lesson too. He says, that is our job. We are here so that we have enough time to get ourselves straight and enough time to straighten out some others so that we all can be in heaven someday. And that lesson really resonated with us in the teen room there that day. And obviously it stuck with me. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that message. I think that is a very important part of what we're supposed to do. Certainly, if we're not trying to get to heaven and we're not trying to tell others, then what are we doing here? But I think sometimes we go too far in that direction. The idea of the gospel as being our personal salvation story, I think, can be overemphasized. Is that really our only job? Does living like it matters just mean being baptized and then running out the clock to make sure you don't mess anything up before you die? I don't know if my youth minister's friend would have phrased it that way, but I think that is a way that can be interpreted, that it's a personal salvation story, so you take care, you make sure you don't lose that, and if you can bring some others along the way, well, that's even better. But mostly this is about personal salvation. I think we have more of a job than that. I hope that's not shocking. I think as Christians, if we are going to live like this matters, that we have more of a job than that. It can't just be dying like it matters, but it needs to be living like it matters. When Jesus started to preach, when Jesus, after coming out of the wilderness being tempted, the first thing he preached was, the kingdom is coming. And he talked about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And he said things like, the poor in spirit are blessed. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Peacemakers are blessed. They'll be called sons of God, sons and daughters of God. He said things about how we ought to act towards one another. He talks about not just showing up as a rescue plan, but he shows up to change the world. Peter stands up at Pentecost. He's not just giving a message of, I know the way out, follow me. He's giving a message of, we are called to follow in Jesus' footsteps to change the world. I believe that as Christians, we not only are supposed to get to heaven and take as many as we can with us, we are called to bring heaven to earth, to bring the kingdom here. And I know I've heard responses to that say, well, when it says the kingdom, that's really talking about the church, and the church is here, and so that job is done. Okay, I think there's more to it. If we are going to live like it matters and not just die like it matters, I think we can't ignore the way that Jesus went to the people who were the outcasts. And Jesus went to the people who didn't have power. And Jesus tried to show them not just hope for when you die, but hope in this world. If you think about it, if all Jesus had to do was come to earth and die, that doesn't take 33 years. It doesn't even take the 3 years of ministry. Jesus was trying to show Peter and the others with him how the church is meant to change the world by blessing the world, by confronting injustice, by caring for those in need, by taking care of those who can't take care of themselves. We've talked about that when we've been looking at especially the Old Testament, especially the prophets. We've talked about God takes care of those who can't take care of themselves, and he calls his people to do the same. I think by focusing so much on the personal salvation side of the gospel story, the church has missed out on a lot of what we've been called to be. It is an unfortunate truth in the history of the church that we've been on the wrong side of history because of mixing up these stances before. There are a great many churches that can look back and say they were on the wrong side of the slavery issue and used the Bible and their faith and the gospel story to justify it. There are probably at least as many churches that were on the wrong side of the civil rights movement and used the Bible and their faith and the gospel story to justify it. We get very caught up in this idea of personal salvation story that I think sometimes our eyes are closed to the things going on around us in the world. I read a statement by somebody that caught my eye. I even underlined it in my book. I like to read. I like to find good lines. I don't often write in my book, but I brought it out to Rachel. Rachel, read this. This is good. Good. Now I'm just going to see if I can remember it. I should have brought the book. The people who don't feel that it's the church's job to change the world are very often the people who don't need the world to be changed for them. The idea that the only thing we need to worry about the world is be in the world but not of the world, and we need to just get to heaven and take others with us. If the people that are most often when the church says that it's not the job of the church to be changing the world, it's not the job of the church to be seeking justice and things like that. Very often that gospel becomes very white, very male, very privileged. Those who already have power those are the ones you usually end up hearing that message from. It's the ones who don't need the world to be changed that seem to reject the idea that the church is meant to change the world. I don't know if I brought that across as well as the book did. Oh well. If we go to 1 Peter, and we look at what Peter has to say about what it means to live as though the gospel story matters, we can go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And he talks some about suffering, which makes sense. Peter suffered. Peter had a hard time of it. Things would have been easier for Peter if he'd never met Jesus. Jesus pulled him off of his fishing boat, said, "Follow me," and the rest of his life was not the same. And you can even go to the end of the Gospel of John. You don't have to flip there. I'll just read it since I just sent you to 1 Peter. And when Jesus is talking to Peter, after having what we call reinstating Peter, right? That's maybe not the best word, but after asking Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Having Peter respond, knowing that he had just denied him three times, Jesus says, follow me. And then he tells him, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And John says, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. It makes sense when you turn over to 1 Peter and he's further down this line. He's been arrested and released from jail miraculously. And he's been in front of many courts. And he's faced a lot of persecution. And he has suffered. It makes sense that Peter wants to talk about suffering as imitation of Jesus. He says, Jesus suffered, and so do we. But I want to move past the suffering. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is near. And whether that means Christ's return and the end of things in that way, or our own end. The end is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Now, I liked our discussion of that this morning, of may not forgive sins, but if we do things in love, we're able to overlook a lot of things for each other. It says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. When it talks about hospitality and service, do you suppose that what he's really saying is, so we can gain their trust, so that we can get them in the water? Because sometimes that's how we talk. And if the gospel is just personal salvation, and it's just the individual, and get to heaven and take others with you, what other reason do we have? I don't think that's what he's saying. He's saying if you want to look like Jesus, it's about taking care of others and serving others, not out of some selfish reason, but because of how God sees them. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. No pressure. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. As a church, as Christians, as someone who responds to that message that Peter gave at Pentecost, as someone who says, this gospel story matters and I'm going to live like it matters, it means we ought to be going out and improving the lives of others. Not just baptizing them, certainly baptizing them, but it means we ought to be changing the world around us. Where we see injustice, we confront it. Where we see need, we help as we can. We don't sit on our church budget. We have here. We've been blessed. And we've been sitting on it. If we are to live like it matters, others around us need to see that it matters. We need to make sure that we are not just in this for the payoff at the end. That does matter. But think of it this way. How many people in this room have been baptized Christians for more than 30 years? How about more than 40 years? 50. Still got hands. Do we have anybody baptized Christians for more than 60 years? Still got hands. 70? We got a hand. We are very blessed in this congregation to have members with such wisdom gained from years of faithful living. But if the only goal is get to heaven and take others with us, well, let me rephrase that. All of those years of living as a Christian, is that something that has been achieved long ago, and your task is to not mess it up all these years? Or is it something that you started long ago and have had the opportunity to show the kingdom of God in this place and to make this place better because of that gospel? I would suggest only one of those options is actually good news. If we are only trying to get ourselves to heaven, then the deathbed conversion person is better off than somebody riding it out for 70 years. If all we're trying to do is not screw it up and make sure that we get there, it's not good news. Peter stood up and gave a message that said, God sent his Son into the world. Wicked people killed him. Of course, he was standing in a group where he said, you killed them. But he said, God sent a gift, and those who were intended to receive it killed him. God raised him up and used that rejected stone as the beginning of something incredible he's going to build. The people responded, what do we do? And he said, change what you're doing. Repent. Be baptized. Be counted among the number. Receive the gift of the Spirit. Get that blessing. And what we saw last week, what they went out and they were a blessing in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And we are a part of that story. We have been added to that building. We have been blessed to be able to say that story matters, and I am a part of that story, and it is good news, which means we live like it's good news, not just waiting so we can die like it's good news. So let's get to work. We need to be about the business of the kingdom. It's very easy to sit back and say, I've got a blessing coming. We need to also say, we are going to be that blessing to others. So that's our challenge. It's a big one. And like Peter says. He follows up this wonderful statement of offer hospitality and serve and be God's voice and be God's hands and feet. And he follows that right up with, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering. It's easier to sit in the pew and wait. It's harder to go out and live the gospel. But do you get any sense of any kind of regret in these letters from Peter? Or that he would have done it any differently? He says, if I have to suffer for the gospel, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to do something. Let's do something. All right, I'm starting to repeat myself, so let's wrap this up. If there's anything you need this morning, if you need prayers, if you need hugs, if you need something, this is family time, right? Let us be here with you. If you need to say, repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can do that this morning too. As so many in here have done so long ago for some. That was cool to see. If there's anything you need this morning, please let us know as we stand and sing.
Live for Jesus, oh my brother, his disciple.